It is one of the great sadnesses of the Baudelaire case that Violet never got to meet a man named C. M. Cornbluth, an associate of mine who spent most of his life living and working in the Valley of Four Drafts as a mechanical instructor at the VFD headquarters. Mr. Cornbluth was a quiet and secretive man, so secretive that no one ever knew who he was, where he came from, or even what the C or M stood for. And he spent much of his time holed up in his dormitory room, writing strange stories, or gazing sadly out the windows of the kitchen. The one thing that put Mr. Cornbluth in a good mood would be a particularly promising mechanical student. If a young man showed an interest in deep-sea radar, Mr. Cornbluth would take off his glasses and smile. If a young woman brought him a staple gun she had built, Mr. Cornbluth would clap his hands in excitement. And if a pair of twins asked him how to properly reroute some copper wiring, he would take a paper bag out of his pocket and offer some pistachio nuts to anyone who happened to be around. So, when I think of Violet Baudelaire standing in the wreckage of the VFT headquarters, carefully taking the strings off the ukulele and bending some of the forks in half, I can imagine Mr. Cornbluth, even though he and his pistachios are long gone, turning from the window, smiling at the Baudelaire inventor and saying, "Beatrice, come over here. Look what this girl is making." "What are you making?" Quigley asked. "Something that will get us up that waterfall," Violet replied. "I only wish that Sunny were here. Her teeth would be perfect to slice these ukulele strings into halves." "I might have something that could help," Quigley said, looking through his backpack. "When I was in Dr. Orwell's office, I found these fake fingernails. They're a horrible shade of pink, but they're quite sharp." Violet took a fingernail from Quigley and looked at it carefully. "I think Count Olaf was wearing these," she said, "as part of his receptionist disguise. It's so strange that you have been following in our footsteps all this time, and yet we never even knew you were alive." "I knew you were alive," Quigley said. "Jacques Snicket told me all about you, Klaus, Sonny, and even your parents. He knew them quite well, before you were born." "I thought so," Violet said, cutting the ukulele strings. "In the photograph we found, my parents are standing with Jacques Snicket and another man." "He's probably Jacques' brother," Quigley said. "Jacques told me that he was working closely with his two siblings on an important file."